Colonel Ron Smith, Reel 4. Now, the next thing is the actual, I think, declaration of war or the month leading up to it, and the 3rd of September. What do you recall of that?
I first of all say that I also listened to the radio, which is affecting especially about the Prime Minister's visit to Hooker when he came back with his speech paper. So I got it. I listened to that because we were at standby in the and the radio went on the long and eventually, of course, came back. So immediately there was great relief because this was at the time, of course, that we had started to came out of the war and we were at the war station.
Do you remember hearing the report of that?
Yes, I was.
We haven't talked about the OPs. Could you just tell me a bit about the OPs?
The OP was a concrete replacement which contained the position finder. There was also room for a VCF, which was known as the information officer, to which I think somebody was doing the fortunes or whatever it may be. So that was quite room.
Now, did the guns go to their war footing and war stations? And how did that affect you?
Well, I joined the ranks in 1940. I was 18.
So how did it affect? Did it not affect you much before then?
No. Except that I was by then battery charged. I had to be charged with the battery office, which had been moved up.
So what did that entail? Still,
did well, I was getting a failure orders and some letters and all this kind of stuff. And all the same charity duties.
That's quite a responsibility. You'd be 17 at the time.
Yeah. You're so sure that people would be all just supportive.
Now, after your birthday in July, you joined the ranks. What did that mean in this? Did you stop being a trumpeter?
Or? I was on my face, I
did that mean you stopped bugling and trumpeting, or?
That's right, yes. Yes, in fact, they were fairly non-existent from the start of the war, except for a few of them.
Now, what were your new duties then? When you became an adult, did you just carry on as battery clerk and as battery ACK, battery commander ACK?
Yes, I carried on with that. Gradually, of course, I got promoted from the ranks of the bomber and the ranks of
Over 1940, you mean? Or
from then until 1942.
Were these promotions important to you?
I think they were. It was my own reason, I think, from the very moment that I joined the army, to become something.
Did it make a difference, each rank? I mean, at what point did you feel you weren't one of the lads anymore? Do you see? Do you see what I mean? Or
I think that this actually has to take place when you get your first stripe, if you're really serious about it. And then you start because you have to remember that if you tell someone to do it, you expect them to do it. And if they don't do it, then you have to put them in the attention. But I don't think you can have that sort of action if you've got a camaraderie between you and Joseph.
So how do you do the different separation? You know, especially, I mean, the real difficult one is the first step.
Okay.
How did you do it? I mean, how do you avoid becoming unpopular with your old equals?
I think this is something that you can have a moment where you can do your job properly and not to do it. As I said before, I don't think you can conquer the hand of the other at the same time. You will not be an efficient entity and one who can. The life went on in the lock.
Were there any alarms or, you know?
Yes, very much so. You remember when the French troops was
at Iran?
The next thing you knew was the French Air Force took a good snipe to very good person and came over practically every day. And I had to go with the rockets of the Navy. And it was during one of those raids that our men would be, but I shouldn't have been looking at them. It was a direct hit. And two people were not up to the time. Once the French had settled down, we started to get a few night raids in the town that the men were in. But they were very shy, coming in where they were off and they would drop their bombs and go away. But that was one of our first aircraft come down. It wasn't a good start to the UN and the searchlight started. And the attack, in fact, hit. And it came down and as you know, that day, we had, of course, a Navy, quite a very small fleet force, which consisted of the outboard, the wood, I think there were two cruisers, the Shepherd and the whole host of the Pistola. And Gibraltar was their base, and of course the thousands of medicine and the dying damage and care. And in fact, I came home in the same boat that the German prisoners of war were taken to the river at the same time. The Polish boat.
I'll come back to that. What about actual opening the question of opening fire? I mean, was there ever any instance where you had to open fire or any close incident?
Not much, except for the attack. No, we never had anything like that because just a question of watching the
How did you react to that routine? I mean, in one sense, you're almost safe, in another, it's dull. I mean, how
Very
did.
dull, very dull. Absolutely dull. Because when I finished being on BC activities and we just spent the hours of daylight watching and waiting.
What were you watching for? I mean,
and by the time I left, I think everybody knew, in fact, that there wouldn't be any coastal action against ships. And so life became even more boring and boring.
Now, is there anything else before we come to when you left? Because
Yes, of course.
it's quite a long period of time, but as you say, not a lot happened.
One
What?
of the things that did happen. Six primary guns on the Northern Ireland engine, that is the middle submarine which came across Parliament